Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello, and with me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you today?
Jeff, I am so energized, so renewed, and so ready to get chatting tonight.
So let's start off with a full disclosure. If you are expecting a 20-minute show right now, that's why I was laughing in the intro. It's probably going to be a little bit more than that. Sandy is talking to us today live from property. She's there as the Magic Kingdom is reopening, and so we thought there'd be no better topic than to dive right into everything that she saw today. Today is when you were there, correct? Today was the first day that you were in the park.
It is, and again, full disclosure, we taped on July 7th, which was a cast preview for Magic Kingdom, so it's not even open to the public yet. Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom will open Saturday, July 11th, and Epcot and Hollywood Studios will open July 15th, but I got this sneak peek, and it's amazing. You're all going to love it.
So definitely some early inside information for you. There's nowhere else that you're going to get this except for a handful of people that were there today. So let's talk about everything, right? Let's start from the beginning. Talk about opening dates that you just did there. Repeat those for people. Any new procedures that we need to get into? I know that basically everything that you've known, Disney is relaunching a brand that everybody's known. So everything that you've known is subject to change, has changed, may change in the future. So give us everything we need to know right now as of this recording date. You did say it is July 7th. So start. Just take it and then I'll jump in.
You bet. And I do think we're going to see a lot of changes. Some of it's going to get relaxed as COVID goes away. Some of it is great changes that I think are going to stay. And as I said to one of my clients, things that happened post 9/11, not being able to walk to a gate without a boarding pass, having to take your shoes off, people mumbled when it happened. But now it's what people expect in travel. And I think we're going to find that in that post-COVID world. So if you're ready for Walt Disney World, Saturday, July 11th is the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom reopenings officially to the public. And Wednesday, July 15th will be Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. And in order to get into any of those, you must have a theme park reservation. The reservation system is divided up into three different allocations. On-site guests have a large allocation of reservations, off-site guests, and pass holders. So just because somebody says, oh, I was trying to go that day and there's nothing available, if they're not the same criteria as you, don't take their word for it. Check yourself, talk to a specialist, and see what the options are.
Okay, so before you even, hold on a second. So before you even get there, different options that we have to go over that you're not familiar with, right? So that's why talking to a specialist is definitely the way to go.
Exactly. Showing up at the front gate with a ticket is no longer enough to get you in.
Okay, so let's start when you get to that front gate. Where there's a lot of talk about health screenings. I know they've done some stuff in international parks. Where did we start?
So it is going to be a temperature screening for everybody. You are met with health people who are not Disney cast, they work for a health company. They're doing touchless forehead screening. And if you have an elevated temperature, you'll have a chance to sit in a cooling tent. They'll rescan you one more time. If you still don't pass, you and your entire party may not enter.
So this is an outside company they brought in, though. It's not Disney cast.
Correct. It is a health organization.
Okay. Do you have any idea if that's comparable to what they've done internationally, or is it something they're doing just for the first time in America?
They've done it differently internationally. When I watched the opening of Shanghai, they actually have what I've referred to as almost like a New Jersey Easy Pass lane, like an overhead scanner, where okay, this is actually an individual health person. And yes, they obviously are wearing a mask. They're getting the forehead scanner about 2-3 inches from you. And again, you get scanned literally in seconds. The line is 6 feet space. So it's a very quick process.
So let's give some people a visual. This is happening as you're entering the Magic Kingdom. We're familiar with the security check-in. Where is this happening in location to the security check?
So for today, and even later this week for the pass holder preview, the only way into the park is from the parking lot. So here, this is happening at the Transportation and Ticket Center before you can even get to the ticket windows. And again, it's going to happen in each park. It's also happening in the parking lot at Disney Springs, as well as the bus lot.
Okay. What about security? Has anything changed with that?
It is new. They are now giving you, there's a rack holding see-through Disney Parks bags. Grab a bag, put in your electronics and any metal, so keys, men, depending what your wallet has, a billfold, throw it in the plastic bag. That plastic bag obviously is not leaving your sight. You're putting it on the counter. They're pushing it through. You're keeping your bag with you and walking through a quick screener. So they are no longer opening your bag and unzipping it and checking everything. There are some ones that are setting off the screener they're checking, and there are some random checks, but it's moving faster than that security line has ever moved.
And where are you getting this bag? Are you getting it at the Transportation and Ticket Center, or are you getting it when you arrive at the park?
You're getting it right before you go to that security checkpoint. So it's going to be way outside the park before you board the monorail or the ferry boat to get over.
Okay. So let's, you talk about the monorail and the ferry boat. Let's jump right into transportation. Let's talk about what's changed with any kind of transportation situations.
You bet. So I'm not going to go into a lot about the busing. Our past episode, we talked about all the retrofitting for the buses. So we'll shave off a minute there.
Sure.
The trams in the parking lot are actually not running yet. They won't start them till Saturday, but I think that's super simple. We're going to see every second row on the trams. That's going to be your social distancing. Monorails, very different. So if you've ridden the monorail before, you basically know that you can walk in a monorail door and there's seats to your left, seats to your right, and you can see over to a second set of seats, two separate doors, but basically there's those four seats in one car. They've added a partition to separate the two sides of the monorail. They are asking you to get your child out of the stroller and fold the stroller because each seat is one family. They are not allowing standing. They are not allowing anybody in the middle. So if you can't fold your stroller or you can't transfer out of an ECV, you will get that half of the monorail car to yourself. Otherwise, that half a monorail car is shared by two families, each of you on your own seat with that distance in the middle. And again, I know it's tough to take your kids out of the stroller, especially at the end of the night, but think of it this way. I was kind of doing some math in my head. I think the monorail capacity is probably, depending on what time of day you were talking about, it's probably somewhere between 40 to 60% of what it was in the past. So if you're tired and you want to get home, help somebody else out, take your kid out of the stroller. The more families we can move each time, the quicker everybody will get out.
Okay. Interesting. What about the water?
The ferry boat's over to the Magic Kingdom. So they've got it set up now. They've got big dots on the ground, and the dots are numbered 1, 2, and 3. Everybody gets a dot. The dots are 6 feet apart. Your family gets a dot, I should say, not every person.
Okay.
If you're on dot one, you're going to go on the next ferry boat. If you're going to be on dot two, you're going to go on the second ferry boat to leave. And dot three, you're going to be on the third. And obviously, you're going to keep moving up. As you're boarding the ferry boats, they've come up with their cute little slogan, pick a deck, pick a dot.
Okay.
So again, you're going to be upstairs or downstairs. When we were leaving the Magic Kingdom, it was actually two separate lines. You decided in advance, upstairs or downstairs, headed to the Magic Kingdom. As of today, it was not two separate lines. Once you are on board, again, that pick a dot, those dots are on the ground to do a 6 foot distance from the family next to you. So again, thinking about ferry boat capacity, there were 80 dots on board. I will tell you again, when they really pack that ferry boat, they probably got at least double that capacity. So again, the park is not operating at full capacity. That'll bring down the number of people looking to ride it, but you might want to allow an extra couple of minutes for those rides.
So the one thing that we haven't discussed here, I guess there's multiple things. I don't know if you have any information or if it's worth sharing in this show. We're talking about Magic Kingdom specific right now. Do you have any other information about any other forms of transportation throughout Walt Disney World that you know of any accommodations for, or is that something you want to discuss as you find out more information?
We haven't gotten anything official yet. Basically, we've talked about buses. The two things we haven't talked about are going to be the Sky Gondolas, and I can tell you without talking to anybody, it's going to be one family in a gondola. The separation space in them is not as great as it is on a monorail, so I'd be surprised to see them put more than one family in there. And then our other options are those boats that run from Epcot to Hollywood Studios. And again, just knowing what they've done in attractions and other things, we're going to see it where they're only seating people probably every second row, possibly every third row. And again, there's going to be no standing on transportation anymore.
So obviously expect when you're waiting for those pieces of transportation that the lines waiting for those things will obviously be different too.
They will. And I think it's harder to tell how long the wait is. So they're doing a really good job of trying to let you know. The lines look super long because, again, there's 6 feet in between every family. So what might have been 5 to 7 families before is now one. You know, the line may look like it's coming way outside, but it's probably still shorter than it's been in the past because of all of that spacing.
Okay, so let's dial it back right back to the Magic Kingdom. Let's talk about as you're entering, right? There's got to be some changes once you've gone through security and you're entering the park.
The magic's back. You know, you're looking at the train station. You've got the new floral. You're headed under that tunnel. And even more magical in this time that they've been closed. They're not quite finished, but I'd say they're 99% of the way. Check out our Facebook page for Instant Impressions Travel and see the castle in all its new glory. Right down Main Street, you're getting that newly decorated castle. You're entering the hub. You're seeing the trolley, and the cast is waving, and they're excited to have everybody back. Probably the big change, I always grab a Times guide. They're looking again to kind of get rid of some of that stuff. So we didn't see the maps and the Times guides out. Again, they're really making that push towards electronics. And then the next thing would be that you can't cut through the Emporium. If you're a regular Walt Disney World person and you've had that aha moment and you've walked down Main Street and really taken the castle in, if you're getting there at a crowded time, you're probably walking in that door for the Emporium, heading straight back into the left and out through Casey's to make your way into Adventureland.
I am shaking my head, yes. That is something we do all the time.
And that is no longer an option because that door that you would go in is an exit only enclosed. And again, like we talked about in our special episode when they opened the resorts, they really have done a great job marking entrances and exits to keep things flowing in one direction. The exits are all closed doors as you're walking up Main Street. The entrances are all wide open doors, so you don't have to touch them with your hands, and there's no confusion over how to get in. I would say one of the other changes that I noticed immediately walking up Main Street is an announcement system. It's unusual, except kind of to let you know that the parade is coming for the day, to hear overhead announcements in Disney. That's not their thing. It's their thing now. And it's just a reminder that you should keep social distancing, you need to keep your mask on, and thanking you for being here today. So that's a little bit of a change to get that overhead announcement. The other thing we're seeing, again, the constant reminders, the garbage cans all have social distancing signs on them, reminders about the masks, about, you know, not coughing on people and all those great things. And then the other thing that I love, the garbage cans are propped open. So again, they're looking to cut down on high touch points. Don't touch the garbage pail. It's gross to begin with. More gross during COVID. So propped open, just throw your garbage in and walk away.
Okay, so everything you're saying makes total sense as far as the entrance. I love the decisions to keep the exit doors closed. It's an easy visual for people to see. Let's move away from the entrance and go right on to the attractions, which is what people are definitely going to be concerned about. How has the attractions changed? How has the queue changed? How has this changed? Talk to us about what attractions you saw that were open, if there were any that were closed, or anything that's changed.
So I will make a disclaimer. I am a Disney stockholder, but after today, I definitely want to buy stock in hand sanitizer. Hand sanitizer everywhere, at the entrance to every attraction and the exit to every attraction. And not just there. Cast members greeting you and encouraging you to use it. It's baffling to me the quantity of hand sanitizer they had to use, because I will tell you, I did keep a look going on and off the rides, and 90 to 95% of the people definitely were using the sanitizer and using it on the way in and the way out. So definitely being used. Again, we're killing all those germs. It's out there. I found the waits to be shorter than I expected today. You know, most things were 5 and 10 minutes. There were times things got to 30 minutes. There was also a preview going on in Animal Kingdom today, and I will fess up and say that I looked at the app at one point, and Flight of Passage had a 5-minute wait. It was shocking.
Man. Oh, man, that might be worth the ride over.
We looked at each other and went, did we pick the wrong car? We should have been over there. Great job doing the spacing. Again, there's stickers on the ground straight out that say, you know, stand here. And they're 6 feet apart. Now, I will admit there were a couple times I had a little bit of confusion over the markers because it's more than being 6 feet apart. It's important to be 6 feet apart, but not next to somebody. So there were some times, for instance, in Splash Mountain, there was a part where the queue ran next to each other and they put plexiglass to separate it. So we could be literally just 6 feet apart on both sides of the plexiglass. But then, for example, I was on Jungle Cruise and there was an odd number of lines. So normally the queue skipped every other row so that you weren't right next to each other and they could do that 6 feet apart. But the way the rows worked, there were two that fell right next to each other, which meant that there was like 18 feet between one space marker and the next, so that although I was 6 feet from the person in front of me, they also didn't want me next to somebody going in the other direction. So they really thought that part of it through. If you've done these rides before, you're going to find that the queues have changed. In some cases, even the lead up to the loading area changed. They kind of threw me off on Buzz Lightyear. Normally, you're in that final queue, you walk past Zurg, and basically you take about 10 steps and you get on the ride. Now there's kind of the long hallway that runs all along the cars as the lead into it. Huh. So they really worked those queues. They made additional queues where they needed it. They're prepared. Something like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. The queue goes outside of the attraction and wraps probably 90% around the Ariel ride, the gift shop, Gaston's. And that's because with those 6 feet markers, it's not that the line is that long. It's that they need that many feet. So they've put in those additional queues. They've put out massive umbrellas to make sure that you're in a shaded area while you're waiting. It's a Small World has a huge line queue that runs in front of the bathrooms in those new Rapunzel bathrooms. So they've really thought about that. Once you're on the attraction, as we've talked about before, they're doing spacing in obvious ways, things like Small World boats and pirate boats. They're filling every second or third row so that you're spaced out. But when I got on Haunted Mansion, I was surprised that I wasn't in the dune buggy behind my friends. They did every other dune buggy. And the reason was we were fine to ride a dune buggy apart. But when we got off the ride, if somebody was slow getting out or somebody else was super fast getting out, they didn't want you walking into the family in front of you. So depending on the attraction, they skipped one or two vehicles. Buzz Lightyear skipped two vehicles in between every person. So again, that's where that reduced capacity comes in.
I have to ask you, because you mentioned Haunted Mansion. For anybody that's been on Haunted Mansion, you know that at the beginning, you walk into the room that leads you to the place where you get on the ride. What's the capacity like in a room like that?
So that would be one of the sad parts of the day. And it's only a sad part if you're somebody, like you said, who knows what's coming.
Correct, yeah.
There are things like the stretching room that just don't make sense for them to try and make them work.
Correct.
So the stretching room scene does not exist. You walk through the stretching room. It's set up as part of the line queue. The pictures are fully stretched. So I will say from a Disney geek standpoint, I got some awesome pictures
cool,
today
yeah.
that I could never get.
That's awesome.
Because
what I was gonna say,
yeah. we were standing in that room with the pictures fully stretched, the lights on, and nobody was telling me to move. So it was great photography today that I've never been able to capture otherwise.
Okay, cool.
But something like that is missing.
Okay, so a modification. The one thing I did have a question for you too is, You know, you mentioned hand sanitizer is everywhere. What about cleaning these attractions? Was there anything specific that you saw about how they were handling cleaning of the actual attractions?
So I saw a lot of cleaning going on. And if you've listened to me or you've met me, you know that I also ask a lot of questions. I'm not shy that way. I saw them clean everything. I watched somebody clean a railing in a walkway, the entire top and every spindle. I was shocked. I don't think I've ever seen that during a park opening. But all of the attractions have a cleaning process that occurs every 2 hours. And so they literally stop loading people, which on the one hand stinks if you're online. It's about a 20 to 30 minute process, depending on the attraction. Some of the attractions are able to do it with no impact to guests. So, for example, the Speedway closes down one lane to clean and is able to leave the other one open. Jungle Cruise is able to pull a boat off and do just that boat so that everything is cleaned every 2 hours. Okay. Now, that said, I did ask in a couple of the rides that are what I would call high-touch rides. The Speedway and Buzz Lightyear were two in particular that came to mind for me because, I'll be honest, I normally hold on to the handrail in Haunted Mansion on my dune buggy. I didn't touch the handrail very purposely this trip, but I can't help touch the steering wheel on the Speedway. I can't help but touch that gun in Buzz Lightyear.
Sure, it's what they're designed for.
That's what they're designed for. That is not cleaned in between every person. I could have taken out my Lysol wipes. It's not who I am. I did think of it. But I also thought about what's going to make people comfortable. And again, if you're not comfortable with what I'm saying, I beg you to put off your trip till 2021. Come when it's going to be right and magical for you. But a super quick thing that I thought about doing is keeping disposable gloves in my backpack. And for something like Buzz Lightyear, I'm going to throw on a plastic glove, shoot on the ride, and when I get off, I'm going to turn the glove inside out and throw it in the garbage. And done. Then I feel like I didn't touch something everybody else touched. It, you know, I'm not sitting there spraying it down or wiping it down, but I've protected myself. And that's going to be very few rides.
Okay, so let's go from the rides to the gift shops. Obviously, you mentioned about the doors, the entrances, and the exits, that's changed. Give us any more information about the gift shops that's changed.
Longest line of the day today was my gift shop line.
Really? And
I will say, I think it's only because of the specific gift shop that I'm going to mention. We did the Splash Mountain gift shop. And we all know that Splash Mountain's being rethemed to Princess and the Frog soon. And so that did have a line. It is a small gift shop. I did not wait in line to get into the Emporium. Uptown Jewelers is one of my other favorites on Main Street. I did wait in line literally about a minute. So it really depends. Some of those smaller gift shops have very limited capacity. Right. And again, they're highly discouraging cash. Credit cards, magic bands, etc. are the right fit.
Okay. So what about if you were going to go and buy something and try something on?
Unfortunately, at this point, the fitting rooms are not open, but they are accepting returns, and you don't have to return in Disney where you purchased. So if you're an on-site guest and you buy a t-shirt, you can take it back to your room, try it on, and if you find it doesn't fit, you don't love it, return it right in your resort gift shop.
Okay, so that's a nice, easy, convenient way to do things. What about rest areas, right? The places where you're going to go to take it easy.
So these rest areas, or relaxation stations as they're currently naming them, are a mask-free zone. So you've had enough with your mask. You really need a break besides eating a meal. Magic Kingdom has three of them. Epcot has three of them. Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom have two of them. I will say, again, there are no printed maps. They are not showing up on the digital map. I don't think it's the best signage job Disney has ever done. They are signed when you get there, but knowing where they are is a little bit of a trick. And I'm going to give you the Magic Kingdom ones right now. We were there today, and we scoured for them and asked about them. Our team will be preparing a guide for all of our clients listing all 10 of them so that you can easily find them. Interestingly, two of them are outdoors. One is covered, one is not, and one is indoors and air conditioned. So in the back of Magic Kingdom in Pete Silly Show, tables and chairs. And again, they're really counting the people. That is the smallest of the relaxation stations, but a nice break to get out of the sun, sit in the AC, take your mask off, have a drink that you have purchased elsewhere and brought with you. You're good to go. Golden Oak Outpost. All of you listening are going, where? What? Best known as the McDonald's Fry Cart just past Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sure.
So that's going to be an outdoor location. So this afternoon when it rained, while there was a sign, I certainly would not be thinking about sitting down to relax in the pouring rain. And then the other catch-all for where do we throw everything we don't need to do, the Tomorrowland Noodle Terrace. So that's an outdoor location, but a covered location. And that is the one, if you're walking from the front of the park to the castle, you make that right at the end of Main Street to kind of cut through, and you find that's where they have the Noodle Terrace for quick service. That's the only location that I found that also had a beverage service there. So you could get bottles of soda for purchase, obviously, and sit and relax. But lots of tables, very well spaced, great option for you.
Okay.
So sit for 2 minutes, sit for 10 minutes, but take your masks off and relax as its name implies.
Okay, so let's move away from the rest then to go back to entertainment, right? There's a tremendous amount of entertainment, especially in the Magic Kingdom. Tell us about what you saw that was different, that caught your eye.
So this was my biggest fear, and maybe fear is the wrong word. This was the thing that I thought we were going to miss out on. As we know, we can't do character greets. We can't be that close to other people. I will tell you that I was jumping up and down and clapping my hands when I heard a band coming down the street, because I didn't expect that level of live entertainment. So the Walt Disney World marching band came down Main Street. I heard them and saw them multiple times a day. Again, pop over to our Facebook page. Enjoy the video. You're going to be transported to that magic. And then they did some magical encounters, mini, what they like to call cavalcades. They're parades that don't stop. So they're following that traditional parade route, starting over by Splash Mountain, making their way to the main hub in front of the castle, all the way down Main Street, and then into the back behind the firehouse. Tink came down on a float. Merida on her horse. Oh, my God, I was screaming. I was in Tony's for lunch, and I saw this horse coming down, and I just jumped up and went outside. Merida leads the princess parade on her horse. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Mickey and Minnie paraded down the road. And then they also put characters up in the train station different times of the day. And again, these are not timed experiences, because the idea was you're not supposed to stop and stare and gather as a crowd.
One of the things that I think Disney has lost when they went to the FastPass system was the spontaneity. And I think it sounds like one of these things that you're, that all these things you're talking about entertainment wise, it's got an almost an injection of spontaneity that I really think the parks were missing. So it is a little bit of a silver lining that you're talking about here.
You know, I mean, honestly, as you can probably hear my voice, Merida on that horse, I'm just never going to forget. It was amazing. But you know what was better? I didn't scope out my spot an hour before the parade started. I ran outside. I saw her. I went back to what I was doing. Now, I'm going to give an honest answer that people aren't going to like here for a minute. There are a lot of people that stopped and stood and watched. When Tinkerbell came on a float, it was just Tinkerbell, and she literally passed me. You know, she was in my line of vision for maybe a minute. She passed me in about 15 seconds. Move on. Merida led a float with princesses, and it was probably more like 3 minutes. People did start to gather. The park was empty enough that we could space ourselves out. My honest answer is, if you're not comfortable, if somebody moves up near you, move away. It's just that simple. And if you don't want to stand near people, don't you be the person to stop. You're never going to please everybody, but this was great and close. The other thing that people did that I loved, again, the streets were pretty empty. So people were able to stand on the street in front of the train station facing the castle. And a family member took their picture, and they had Mickey and Minnie in their picture right behind them. So no, they weren't standing next to them, but they did get those character pictures. And I will say, people were told it was fine to remove your mask for a minute to take your picture. You can see again on our Facebook page, I did a castle picture with or without my mask. That was my personal choice.
So you mentioned you saw Merida on the horse, but you were at Tony. So let's talk quickly about dining. What has changed about dining? I know when we did our resort opening show, you thought there was a major push for mobile. I'm assuming it's the same thing for the Magic Kingdom.
That mobile for the quick service is huge. They really want everybody using it. Again, dining reservations are open now 60 days in advance for sit-downs. You'll need to make those, and you can check in on the app for your dining. You don't need to actually interact with a human, as sad as that sometimes makes me. Big change in Magic Kingdom dining. Be Our Guest is no longer open for breakfast, and the lunch is not quick service. It is the three-course dinner. Bonus, it means that Beasts also appears at lunch, so keep that in mind. What I did find for the sit-down dining, again, they're very big on these dots per family. So when we were at Tony's, they had some of the seating marked, do not sit here, to distance people. And then they took that kind of rotunda area and they put big dots on the floor and they asked us to pick a dot and wait. And again, by giving everybody that kind of focal point for standing, it distanced us from everybody else.
Okay. So we've gone through it, just a tremendous amount that you did today. What surprised you? Like, what haven't we discussed that really surprised you about today?
I forgot I had my mask on at one point. Again, I will admit I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I wanted to be here, so I knew I had to wear it. And at a certain point, even though it was 90-something degrees today, it's no different than the fact that I'm wearing a shirt. You have it on, you're good. We did get caught in rain. It dried. It dried from pirates when we got splashed. I personally did keep a Ziploc bag, actually two of them, in my backpack. One to put used masks in and one with a backup paper mask because I find them a little cooler, and a backup cloth mask so I'd be able to switch throughout the day if I wanted and kind of keep that clean, dirty thing. The other thing that surprised me is the press penny machines were still available. Again, high touch surface area. So if you're press penny collecting, either do it because you don't care or bring your Lysol wipes or your glove. But the biggest thing, and I don't want to say it surprised me because I'm a Disney girl. I guess it surprised me how in love I was again, how happy I was to be back, how probably the only part that felt a little surreal to me is the reduced occupancy made for super light crowds. But I felt magical and I felt back at home.
I think that word right there is what I was thinking as you were saying it, right? For so many of us that listen to this show, I know for you, I know for me, it does feel like home. When I get there, they say welcome home. It's the type of thing where it feels like a place that I reside. And so it's good to hear that someone like yourself that's been there thousands of times went today and still felt that magic and felt at home.
It really was. And I'll back up even further on where I started. When you arrive in Orlando Airport and you take that monorail over to the main terminal and you're exiting security, there's a welcome back sign. There's a huge welcome back banner from Orlando Airport, followed by welcome back banners from Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, and SeaWorld. And so I got a little teary even in the airport. You know, I was here 10 days ago, but we're back now. This is it. The kingdom is reopening. They've opened those gates. I can't get the Halloween song out of my mind that they usually play. It's good to be back. I won't make you all listen to my singing for long. But it's amazing to be back. And anyone who wants to have a conversation with me and tell me that the magic isn't here because of all these changes, I'm going to convince you otherwise. It is extra magical to be here.
Sandy, I know it's been a long day for you. Thanks for coming on tonight to tell everybody all about how this looks as it reopens.
My pleasure, Jeff. Can't wait to help you all make magic soon.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show that we've had so far, please share. Help them understand what it's like to make magic. Have them like, have them subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.